Kim Miller, the public health officer for Fond du Lac County, is joining us. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Bob.
We got a few things to talk about. First thing I wanted to talk about with you is vaccinations, because it's back to school time, and there are always recommendations to get vaccinated to keep up on vaccines. Why is that important?
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, this is a perfect time to talk about vaccinations. As kids head back to school and fall approaches, it's a good time for families to take a look at their immunization records. Vaccines aren't just about meeting a school requirement. They're one of the most effective tools we have in preventing those serious diseases and protecting people who may especially be vulnerable. So with that being said, you know, as we get back into school and we're working with school nurses, you know, school nurses are also working with all the children in their school districts to make sure that kids are up to date on those routine vaccines.
Okay. Well, some of those vaccinations, like, what is it, measles, mumps, rubella, I believe. And
yep.
Right now, I guess there are counties in southwestern Wisconsin which are seeing a problem with measles.
Yeah, you know, in a specific, you know, community setting in there, you know, especially, well, let's just say in general terms, when you have, you know, little pockets of certain parts in communities that are not vaccinated at all, you know, it's just such an opportunity for diseases to jump very quickly from one person to the next. So I think that's what we're seeing in southwest Wisconsin. You know, I think if people are worried about it, you know, the biggest thing you can do is just make sure that you and your loved ones are fully protected. You know, if we're talking measles specifically, first dose at around age 1, and then you get that second dose around age 4. So by the time people hop into that school setting, or most kids hop into that school setting, they would be fully vaccinated, at least for that disease.
Do we have any issues with measles here in the county, or is that something that's not reported to the health department?
That is something that is reported. Category disease 1 required reporting within 24 hours. So even if somebody is being tested, before they test positive, we find out if that testing is happening, so we can then work with that person to make sure that they're isolating. Clearly, if they're being tested, Bob, they have some type of symptoms. And if they're being tested for, you know, whatever disease they're being tested for, we want to make sure that they're not also spreading at the same time they're being tested. So we would work with that person to make sure that they're not around people, you know, who could pick up that disease, maybe really young infants, you know, such as that, just to make sure that we can lessen the spread in every way possible. And we don't have any cases where we don't have any suspect at this point either, where we're kind of monitoring and waiting for testing.
Okay, but if a case was reported, is that something that you try and trace it back to the origin?
We would. And we would try to understand, you know, if we're talking measles specifically, you know, this is a very infectious disease, very difficult, because if somebody, let's say, was at a coffee shop, right, and they were in that air setting, if they leave, that air is actually contaminated, infectious for up to 2 hours. So, you know, if you think about it in that way, you know, not only do we have to find out who was there when that infectious person was there, but who was also potentially there for the next 2 hours. So, again, just a small example of what we try to do to help people become aware that they could potentially have been infected.
Okay. Kim, moving on to another topic, I believe Monday was Overdose Awareness Day, and that's a problem that we have now. Have we seen any relief from that at all?
We are seeing less deaths. But, you know, what I like to kind of talk about with August 31st was International Overdose Awareness Day, you know, and the conversation about overdose prevention doesn't really, you know, end with the when the calendar moves to September. You know, to me, it's really a good time to remember people we've lost, support families who've been affected, and really talk about what communities can do to prevent death. And so when I say that we've seen, you know, some last deaths, you know, even one death to me is too many. So just another great reminder that we got to remember those loved ones, those individuals who have passed, you know, first and foremost. But then also reflecting on how can we lessen that from happening, you know, again in the future is going to be key. And to me, you know, that is what the Awareness Day is all about.
But we've gotten better at trying to prevent overdoses, right? With Narcan and testing
So we're doing so many great things. So prevention, again, isn't just telling people to not use drugs, right? In public health, we've learned that we need multiple layers for prevention, education, treatment, and recovery services. That early intervention is so important as well. So we've implemented and we've sprinkled the community with Narcan. You know, Narcan can save lives. And so, you know, getting that into the hands initially that people need it most, and then working with that individual when they're ready for recovery and getting them into recovery is the next key piece. And so, you know, just a little reminder that, you know, this Awareness Day isn't simply about the numbers. You know, it's about the families and communities grieving, you know, people that they've lost, and recognizing that every statistic represents someone who is so loved. And, you know, sometimes I like to ask this question, Bob. If we've been talking about overdose awareness for 25 years, what have we learned? And what do we need to do differently to make sure our next 25 years looks very different? And that's, you know, those are, that's a difficult question to just answer. But, again, a different way to look at something, saying if we've been doing something the same for 25 years and we're still seeing deaths, then we have to improve what we're doing to help improve that prevention in the future.
Okay, Kim, last question has to do with bats. And we're not talking about Louisville Sluggers here. But apparently this time of year is when you see that key bat activity. And of course, Gina Giese of Fond du Lac was a rabies survivor. So maybe that hits home a little bit more for us here in Fond du Lac County.
Yeah, you know, I think that is always a very good example of what, you know, people do bring up when they think about bats. So like you mentioned, this is very timely for early September because bats become more noticeable around homes as summer winds down. Just a reminder, though, bats, they're an important part of our Wisconsin ecosystem, but they also carry rabies. So if you find a bat in your home, there's important things to know, particularly if you aren't sure whether someone or a pet came in contact with it. And so, like, some key things, Bob, is don't touch a bat with your bare hands. You know, that would be first and foremost. And you can't always assume that you weren't bit just because you can't see a bite mark. So bat bites are very difficult to see. Their teeth are super tiny, but that is how, you know, a tiny little scratch, a tiny little bite is that opportunity for rabies to hop into your body.
I used to work with a guy, and his way of solving a bat problem, if they were in a building or a room, was to leave the building and let somebody else take care of it. So,
yeah. Well, you know, that means they're not touching it with themselves and, you know, leave it to a professional.
Right. But
I think it's just important if you or your pet did get bit, you know, and you need to talk through what that looks like. You know, we're here, you know, as a, you know, as your health department to kind of navigate what that could look like for you. You know, there's going to be multiple questions that we're going to ask you, but then we'll kind of get to the bottom of, do you need to be vaccinated? Does the bat need to be tested? And we'll walk through that process. Every scenario is just a little bit different.
Well, Kim, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bob.
We've been talking with Kim Miller, who is the public health officer for Fond du Lac County.